happen if we had the audacity, the courage, the boldness, and the presence to lean into our edges and grow from our core? See, in a world that's shaped by yesterday's leaning into tomorrow's, we find ourselves weaving possibilities in an endless constellation of opportunities. The world has shifted. And now we find ourselves in a whole new space-time continuum where lifestyle, business, and consciousness get to share the same office space as your purpose and your brand. Welcome to the Supernova Podcast. I'm your hostess, Lena Ski. This is a never-ending chronicle, a narrative, really, speaking into the emergence, the futurisms, what's on the cusp of what it is we truly are, what it is we're here to really create, how do we bring all of ourselves in and really shift the needle into flow.
Steve, I was just looking over your website a little bit earlier again today, and there was this quote that came up from there that just absolutely resonated with me. And it feels like it's one of those quotes that can just open up a lot of different conversations, or I'm going to get it horribly wrong. But you speak about this whole idea of this possibility paradox. And I see so much of that in branding and in marketing. And I'm sure you have over all of your years. And this whole notion of when we're the most relaxed and secure is that's when everything's relatively certain, but become the most alive when everything's not.
Yeah.
And it just kind of made me think of how we overpackage things and we overproduce things and we like to contain things versus being authentic, what you call, you know, humanized marketing, like being really open and authentic about things. Like, how have you experienced that shift in the market?
Yeah, so there's a lot to talk about and sort of unpackage there. So the possibility paradox is really something that I arrived upon just from, I do a lot of talking and work around the idea of curiosity. Mm-hmm. And curiosity is, it's a keynote that I give and some workshops that I give. And, you know, the quote that you were referencing is that we're most safe and secure when we're locked into our world of predictability. You know, mm-hmm. sort of wrapped up in the blanket of we know what's going to happen and we can control our worlds. But we're most alive when we're actually taking risks and putting ourselves out there and even in the marketing world, being vulnerable to being open to express our own humanity. And I think it's the element of deep connection that we're now in this very technology-driven culture that we live in. Mm-hmm. It's deep connection that we're missing most and craving most. And so it's this, you know, so in the marketing world, there's the element of taking risks and putting yourself out there and taking the, like Nike just did with the with Kaepernick and the new ad that's coming out, just it's going to air on here in the U.S. today. Mm-hmm. And it's creating a lot of noise on both sides of the equation. Some people are very supportive of it, and it's a very vulnerable thing for them to do, risk-taking. Mm-hmm. And there are some people who are pushing completely against it because they don't believe in what Kaepernick stands for and things of that nature. So we as marketers, or even in the branding space, and when we think about a brand as a business, I think that business should be true to itself and take the risks to express their own humanity, because business, after all, is just a human invention, and it's always going to be for humans and by humans. And so I don't think there's really any getting away from that.
Mm-hmm. And yet we still do want to contain things. We still want to simplify things. And there's obviously value in that. I was just having a conversation with a client, and they were like, but which archetype are we? And like, you know, this whole notion of defining and locking in has its value, but how do you notice that we can keep open in that space? Because it's almost like those old ideals need to be rebranded themselves.
Yeah, you know, it's I love that you brought archetypes into this. And, you know, I've done a lot of work around the work of Jung and Joseph Campbell and
that's where you got the curiosity from, right?
Well, actually, it comes partially from there, but also comes partially from my background as a creative and as an artist. And I think, you know, there's part of what I believe most entrepreneurs are is professional noticers. And so curiosity is the threshold into that. Mm-hmm. But when we think about archetypes, we're all sort of on a hero's journey in our own sort of way. And there's lots of different ways to take that particular hero's journey through the world of business or through the world of our own personality within that business. And when we think about a brand archetype and we think about the desire to want to simplify the manner in which we communicate or express and even represent ourselves out into the world, we're often, I believe, as human beings, as business leaders, looking to understand our place in the world and looking to understand where our business fits in and who is our quote unquote tribe. Mm-hmm. So business, there's no such thing as a business that is for everyone. Even the most, as we would deem them, mass market businesses such as Amazon or Walmart, they're not for everybody. There's people who actually don't use those products or services and don't shop in those stores. So if that's true, then any business has to find where it belongs and where our tribe is, mm-hmm. and the audiences that we're trying to serve. And we as business leaders, I think, are always looking for where is it that we connect and where is it we belong. And I think to your point, Lena, there's a process of simplification or distillment in order to understand what that is, what is our archetype, how do we show up in the world, and where do we fit in, where do we belong?
Mm. Oh, and by looking again at your website, I mean, you've taken over, 2,000 of these hero's journeys with so many different clients, from the consumer products to electronics, education, government, sporting, entertainment, which we both kind of share the entertainment side of it. Working in brand strategy, organizational life, which is also incredibly important, and the humanized marketing and wholehearted leadership. And what I love about that is how you bring that all together, because I really stand for we can't turn these things into departments anymore.
And I love that point. They're really like, you know, HR as a function, human resources as a function, is not segregated or separated from the operations of the business, because if HR is the function to bring people in the door and to help them thrive within the organization, the people within the organization carry the brand forward, carry the business forward, and with just that simplicity in mind, there can be no separation between the brand, the business, and the people.
Yeah. And there was also a really interesting trend that I've actually seen some companies go into, just on that HR function, that HR is now almost becoming your external marketing department rather than the old HR thing. Especially with all these millennials around, it's almost becoming a whole different way of engaging, which is quite interesting to see. What have you noticed has been like radical shifts from like the future of work? And
yeah, I think that so one of the companies that I'm working with, and I won't name their name right now, but you know, their challenge/opportunity is to attract more of the right kinds of employees. Uh-huh. And it happens in their particular case that those employees, that the lion's share of them, happen to be made up of the millennial generation. Mm-hmm. And so the millennial generation, as everyone probably knows at this point, is very purpose-driven. They're less interested in...
Guilty.
Right. They're less interested in taking a job just for the money. Mm-hmm. In fact, they're not at all interested in that. And they're much more interested in being aligned with the purpose of the organization and how they can contribute to something that's larger than themselves. Mm-hmm. And so part of the work that I'm doing with this organization, and I see it happening on lots of within lots of organizations, is that they're working to align their outward facing purpose, their why behind what they do, to the employee engagement or the employee prospecting process, so that they almost begin the conversation with this mindset of, you know, if you work here, you can help us collectively achieve this particular purpose as they've stated it. And then what they get is this beautiful thing of people raising their hands to that and saying, yes, I want to contribute to that. How can I get in there, kind of thing? Or you get the other side of it, which is people that, no, I believe in a different purpose, and I want to spend my time and energy in that particular purpose. So it actually creates for a really powerful employee attraction modality that actually does turn into marketing, because these folks are looking to attract many people, many new employees, and ideally just not just any employee, but the right employees for the right reasons.
And what I just loved about what you just said, Steve, just kind of made me think about it in a slightly different way, even in the sense of, this is now almost becoming a whole new way of interviewing. You know, it's marketing isn't just anything, the end thing you do in the product cycle anymore. It's embedded so much earlier into the process, and it's actually now shaping the business. And I know we're both kind of advocates for that in terms of really bringing that through together. I didn't actually see that as a way of like radically shaping the way we take people into the organization. I'm excited about that.
Yeah, I think it can be a very streamlined process. And with this particular engagement, I'm helping them with not just how to attract the right kinds of employees, but how do we have the first sets of conversations with them? We used to call them interviews, but really they're conversations. Uh-huh. And then once we go through that vetting process, which is a two-sided vetting, the employee prospect is vetting whether or not they want to work for that company, and the company is vetting whether or not that employee is going to be a good contributor to that organization. Mm-hmm. And then once they say, okay, here's the job offer, what does that process look like? What does that conversation sound like? And then when you get into the employee onboarding and how you indoctrinate them into the organization, the culture, and even their job function, that is all a connected process that I believe is not just connected to the business functions, mm-hmm. but it's also connected to the beliefs, the deeply held beliefs of the organization, which are really the brand attributes as I pose them. Mm-hmm. And then what their expectations are from how they work within the culture, and what even then their defined relationship is with their coworkers, and then ultimately how they represent the organization in a public facing way if they have a public facing element to their role. So it can be an incredibly streamlined process that can be very noble, quite beautiful, and quite inclusive of, and even from a design standpoint, you can actually design that whole journey for how that new employee comes into the organization, and then how then they work within that organization.
Can we almost backtrack a little bit, because it's so perfect, and obviously the millennial in me and the purpose strategist in me and we're so aligned on this conversation, like my hands are all up going, yes, like why haven't we done this already? But yeah. I can also see the other side of it, like that's a lot to step into. There was almost the security of in one day being distant from our work or distant from working from the companies that we work from, because it wasn't our brand, it wasn't something we were so embedded into. And now there's this whole new integrity piece that it can be scary for these companies to really be that vulnerable and be that authentic. Mm.
Yeah, I do find that sometimes is the case. Mm. However, I think the upside of the vulnerability and the willingness to first and foremost, identify what your most deeply held beliefs are as an organization, and that starts with the leadership team. Mm-hmm. And then having the courage to articulate them in a way that really activates the culture, engages the team, and attracts the right kind of people. And the right kind of people might be the employees, or it also might be the customers. I think that there's an element, and use this word, which I loved, which is integrity. And the root of integrity is about integration. And so I think the days have gone of, first and foremost, from an organizational standpoint, the command and control system of leadership. So into a much more integrated and much more vulnerable and level organization. Mm-hmm. And I think also the days are gone where the beliefs of the organization is presented in such a way that they're discongruent of how the company behaves internally and how it expresses itself externally. And I think what happens when a company does that is they're outed as inauthentic or as posers or something to that nature. And I think you're going to see more and more companies really integrating their belief systems into all of their marketing and all of their culture.
Mm. And that also excites me as well. And I think I've spoken about it in a previous podcast, but it's also where the change gets to happen, because I guess this millennial market and also the next generation coming up from that, there's still a need for purpose and sustainability, and they're still wanting a good cause out of things. They're calling these bigger organizations, all these smaller organizations, all the local entrepreneur, whoever it is, on what it is that they're doing. And again, bringing back in that integrity, everyone's needing to realign. So what might have started out as a publicity stunt just to get the millennial to come in and work for them or to buy their product, it's actually reshuffling so much more under the surface.
Yeah, I completely agree. Because if that organization does that publicity stunt type of thing, they still have to deal with the people who have been brought into that culture. Mm. And they're going to wake up to, these people are not authentic in the way that the way that they presented themselves, and then they behave very differently, and then you have a high turnover rate.
Yeah.
So the people just end up leaving. So they realize that publicity stunt approach is just not going to work. Mm-hmm. So they have to be authentic.
It's like you have to have the world's biggest budget to pull off these stunts.
Yeah, you do, right? We've seen it, and it costs a lot of money to pull off those things. And to what effect or what end, I wonder, if people are just looking to create noise out in the marketplace, or as we call it in the marketing world, buzz. Mm-hmm. I really wonder what the short or rather the long-term value is in that.
Mm. Well, where do you see the value shifting? Like, where do you see... Because you talk about this humanized marketing, and I love that term that you've coined. Like, how do you see that translating into like this long-term strategy from again that little entrepreneur to the big guy?
Yeah, and it can work on any level of the organization. So what I mean by humanized marketing is, so in the world of marketing, and I don't want to get too technical because I'm not, I don't want to like get into too many technical things about the marketing function, although we're in the age of big data. Uh-huh. And big data, we're in that age because there's so much marketing measurement that can be done through the many different screens and devices that we're pushing most of our marketing out into and towards. And so big data can drive a significant amount of information on how we go about marketing. The other side of that, though, is, and this is what I said in the beginning of the conversation, is that all business is a human function. It's a human invention to begin with. And most of our interactions, even though they might be done via an online transaction or something of that nature, it still creates an experience. Every organization out there has a brand that creates an experience, mm-hmm. which is really part of what my working definition for a brand is. It's the culmination of how any one person or group of people experience the organization. Mm-hmm. And if experience is where it's at, then it's human, because machines don't have experiences, and data can inform certain things, but data never really created anything. And it doesn't create a human experience. And I think people are craving in all transactions as much humanity as they possibly can. So the more I believe that we humanize our marketing, reach out to people, and when brands are communicating a message out into the world, the more we're presenting that and expressing that with a high sense of openness, transparency, vulnerability, honesty, and with the drive to create a great experience for the customers that we're working with, the more customers are not just going to respond to that, but the more likely they are to be loyal to the brand that lives up to that customer experience or that brand promise that they're expressing out into the world. And so I think people are really craving that real human experience. And I think the best marketers that I see out there doing that are doing it in a very, very human way.
Mm. And it almost brings it back to belonging, because I'm almost just getting this visual of that chatbot that we can talk to. And I've chatted to a couple of chatbots on Facebook just to see how that whole process feels. And it's so sterile and it's so limiting. And the multiple choice are never my answers of where I want to take it. And there was that human experience to want to feel heard and seen and understood. Like, those needs are so embedded in that whole culture.
Yeah, and I think people are trying to trip up chat boxes right now, or the bots, right? So what I've heard a bunch of stories, and I wonder if you've had this experience where you're chatting through a chat box in some websites for whatever purpose, right? And I think, you know, people are testing, is there a real human on the other line or on the other receiving side of this, or is it just a robot that's responding to me? Mm-hmm. And once they discover that it's a bot, then they're much less likely to actually have an interaction with it. And if they discover that it's a human through whatever means, then they're much more likely to have an interaction with it.
Hmm. Yeah, we're really on the cusp of such a fascinating this way or that way kind of world right now. And it's just really exciting to see where it's going to take us and how it's going to invite us to be a lot more human.
So a moment ago, you were talking about the element of belonging and how important that is in the world of business and the interactions of business. And it's true that belonging is deeply rooted in our psychological nature. In fact, we as human beings are one of the few species on the planet. Well, first and foremost, we're the species on the planet that has the longest childhood. And we're also the only species on the planet that during the length of that childhood, which lasts, you could argue, up to 18 years at this point, where we need the assistance from others. In fact, we cannot even survive without human touch and human connection. And then if we think about Maslow's hierarchy of needs, and if we move up that pyramid from the foundational elements, which begins with safety and security, and then moves up to the next level, which would include belongingness, love, and connection, we actually, as a species, want to belong to whatever our tribe is. And it doesn't mean it needs to be a big tribe, but we need to feel connected. And even as we've evolved as species, this whole element of connectedness and collaboration and our willingness to really deeply connect with other people, because it's part of the family of man. Mm-hmm. And I believe that we want that both as quote unquote consumers, or even as in the business to business world, we want to connect to other businesses that we feel aligned with. And all of that then connects into belief systems. So really any organization on the planet, be it a city, a state, a church, a club, and or a company, mm-hmm. is founded on a set of belief systems or we might call them values. And so in the organizational life, and even in the brand side of things from a customer perspective, people want to feel connected to the beliefs of that other of the organization that they're raising their hand and saying, I want to be a part of that. Mm-hmm. And that I want to be a part of that could include the I want to contribute as an employee or as a team member for that organization, or it could include I'm willing to give this company money in order to have a particular experience and get a particular set of values because I believe in what they're doing and I get benefit from it in my life because I see my life this way and I live my life that way. So we want that connection. Mm-hmm. And it's like this human to human thing will not go away for all the data in the world and all the things that come about with that. It's not going to go anywhere.
I love that. I love what that inspires, because it really brings branding and marketing and communication and all these elements that are our ways of engaging with the world. It really distills it down to resonance. Because ultimately, that's what it is. That's where we find our tribe. We find that resonant factor is that piece that drives that connection.
Absolutely. I think resonance is a great word. I might use that.
Go for it. It's out there in the world.
Yeah. Because the whole idea of resonance, like you think about it from a musicality standpoint or an artistry standpoint, and resonance is that the sound that you hear that brings you alive and alerts your senses. Mm-hmm. And that when we're resonant with something, we're attuned to it, we're aligned with it, and we're actually in relationship with it, in a deeper relationship than certainly in a non-resident relationship.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And that's why these things were invented in the first place, to create that customer relationship. We've just somehow gone off on weird, prolific tangents along the way. It's not quite the hero's journey, but somehow we messed that all up and made it about so many other things. But coming back to these core values is so, so important, as you also mentioned much earlier on in the podcast.
Yeah. Yeah, you know, I think there's a lot of businesses out there, and I applaud them for this, that are experimenting with what technology can mean for our world. Mm. And what roles it can play in our world. Mm-hmm. And I love that. And I think, you know, we could argue that technology has benefited our lives, or certain technologies have benefited our lives in lots of different ways. And, you know, it's even worth saying that, you know, technology, the way we would define it today, is actually only really part of the actual definition of technology. So really the invention of the wheel, for instance, mm-hmm. is a technology. So really, like technology and its relationship with mankind is really nothing new. Mm-hmm. But even with the invention of the wheel, for instance, it didn't change the need for humans to connect and communicate with one another. All it really afforded us to do was to connect more quickly from one tribe to another, or one culture to another. And there I'm thinking about like the connection of the Silk Road, for instance, and how the wheel played a particular role in helping us connect more closely with other cultures. Mm. You know, as we see this, and here we are talking halfway across the world, technology is playing a role in our conversation right now, and even with the folks that are listening to this particular podcast. But at the end of the day, it's the human voice and the human connection that we're ultimately craving. And the technology is just a means to deliver that much more either effectively or much more efficiently, or in ways and manners that would allow us as human beings to be closer together.
Oh, I love that. And it also just brings up this whole question of innovation or solutions in a way. Technology has always been seen as the product, and right now we're in that culture of it is the product, and we're branding it that way, we're marketing it that way, and we're living it that way. But here's the invitation to see it as a channel, and that can fundamentally change so many more things and so many more creations that come out of that process.
Yeah, it's interesting when you think about the product. You know, so some companies think that's what they actually sell. Yeah. And it's like, you know, and I would support that to a point. Uh-huh. And so let's just take a brand like Apple. And sure. Yes, they sell a thing called an iPhone. Mm-hmm. But really what they're selling ultimately, and they may agree or not agree with this necessarily, but they're really selling the benefit of what that particular product does for the people who buy it. In this particular case, the iPhone or a smartphone would allow us to be much more effective in our and efficient in our communication. It would allow us to have all kinds of information at our fingertips. It would benefit us in the way that we're able to quickly and efficiently connect with other people, either across the globe or across the room if we need to. Mm-hmm. And it allows us lots of different tentacles into not just information, but productivity and communication. And so at the end of the day, really, it's the benefits of all those culmination of things that's the real value of the product itself. And I would argue that really what they're selling is that particular benefit and not the phone per se. And this, I think this is true with most every product, that if marketers or brand professionals and even business leaders see what they create, if it is a product or if it is a service, as a value-centric benefit, mm-hmm. and they market it in that particular way, then it becomes a much more humanized marketing mm-hmm. conversation.
And Steve, I just want to make sure that I'm really hearing you on this, because it's easy to almost sweep it under the rug of functionality in some sort of sense. But it's really feeling like you're still speaking into the experience of it. Like there is the functionality and the benefits and those things, but it's something a lot more deeper than that. There's needs, there's values, there's so much more attached to it. I just want to make sure I'm hearing you right on that.
You are. Yeah, I think you are. What I'm really arguing or trying to make clear, at least from my perspective, and I could certainly be wrong on this in certain products, but I believe that people at the end of the day, they buy the benefit of a product, not the product itself. Yeah. And they equate the value of whatever that product is or even the service is with the money that they're willing to pay for it based upon the benefit it will provide their world. Mm-hmm. And that benefit is a culmination of the experience with that particular organization and the product or service that that organization is looking to sell. So from a marketing function, the more a marketer can understand how that product or service that they're putting out into the world benefits the people that they're selling it to, and the more they communicate with that particular mindset, the more they're going to have this humanized marketing approach.
Can I draw in another loop here? Because yes. I'm seeing this resonate again with kind of the way we started the podcast, because this is about packaging. But again, not packaging in the way of just put a label on it, stick it in a box kind of thing. This is a whole other level of packaging.
Yeah, I think so. It's you know,
emotions and so much more. Like,
yeah. Yeah, I mean, so it used to be in the packaged goods world, we used to walk down the supermarket aisle and look at a package of cereal or something like that and look at what that box has to offer, and that's what we thought we were buying as a product. Mm-hmm. But really the culmination of the branded package, if you will, is the how one feels, the actual emotion that one feels when they're either buying or using that product or service. And hopefully we feel some really powerful and positive emotion that comes with that. And then an organization, I think it's their responsibility to package that up in such a way that that benefit is really well articulated and very succinctly articulated so that a potential customer really understands what that's all about.
Mm-hmm. So just to quote you back on your website, there was something that you talked about where you spoke about these enduring questions. They don't really have easy answers, but they can reframe your marketplace and they reorientate you to the true north. I'm wondering what that question is right now. What's that question that's really resonating for you right now that you're asking?
Oh, that's such a great question.
boy. Just to put you on the spot.
Yeah. So that work is based on work that I've done with the poet David White. And, you know, it's really framing what he would call a beautiful question. A beautiful question can be answered, asked and answered by lots of different folks, individuals and or organizations. Mm. And, you know, one of the things that David would say about that is that it has no right to go away. There's no easy answers to it. It shouldn't be answered by the strategic mind alone. And it should reorient our horizon or our life trajectory. And one of the ways you would say it is that a beautiful question can make or unmake a life. Oh. I would transpose that potentially into a business, is that it can also make or unmake a business. And by that, I'm really meaning that it can redirect where that business is going and what that business is doing and how that business is operating and what place and value that business offers into the world. So, and I'm not trying to evade your question, but I'm going to get into my personal side of things here real quick. So for my work and the book that I'm working on right now called The Evolve Brand is really work that it's my life calling to help organizations do a lot of the things that we were talking about today, really understand what their most deeply held beliefs are. B, how to articulate those within their culture, infuse them within their culture, within their team, and then ultimately express them to the outside world.
So there you have it. There's no more room at the edge of maybe. In fact, maybes have been taken out and scrapped on the list altogether. Because you're not just in business to create products and services. I mean, that might have been what got you out of bed this morning. That might be what's getting you to pay the bills, but you're here to own so much more. You're here to encapsulate so much more and embody so much more. You're actually in the business of creating openings, shaping connections, and establishing engagement. And this is your exact moment in the space-time continuum to find yours. Because you are moments away from being in the whole new class of emergence and sharing your genius in a very unique, bold way. This has been Lena Ski for the Supernova Podcast. And if you like this, love this, absolutely roared about this, check on over to our Patreon page because there's some extra awesome things happening there for all our patrons. And of course, we could always do with more exponential love to really catapult this future of work into the way that's actually going to make a difference in the world. But, and so much more, if you're ready to become magnetic, evolutionary, and a whole lot more in charge of what it is you're putting out into the world, and intuitively design the products, businesses, service, solutions, and the talents you need to discover and deliver that thing that's unique to you and the DNA of what it is that's being birthed in this moment, you're going to love everything else happening over at www.lenaski.com. See you there.